Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good Wednesday morning to you. 15th day of January. Countdown T-minus 5 days till we're done with this nonsense of a Biden administration. Somebody keeps turning the mic around, which is really strange. Like the mic is twisted on me. Sorry, Carl. Carl's looking at me like, why did you do that in the middle of... I can't stand it when the mic keeps twisting itself away from me. Sorry. You okay, Carl? You look disturbed this morning.
Yeah.
He's distracted. Hey, Kim, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. Things going well out there. Those Mizzou Tigers had a hell of a win last night. I have to tell you.
Took forever.
How did that affect you, Carl, that it took forever?
Because no one would leave the Enterprise Center because they were waiting for that game to end and therefore making the parking lot a nightmare to get out.
I am excited for Mizzou. That was a big win. I think Florida was ranked 5th.
Yeah, number 5.
And of course, I mean, Kentucky did beat them earlier in the year at Florida. I'll point out it's the SEC is a powerhouse conference this year in basketball. And all of these teams are just beating the hell out of each other. Nobody is going to come out of the SEC this year unscathed. I mean, we went out on the road and lost to Georgia. That is, we as in Kentucky. Mizzou is going to have to go into some, like, they're going to have to go play road games at, Auburn. And I don't know if they're on the road at Auburn. I'm just saying, like 5 of the top 10 teams in the country right now are from the SEC. Mizzou goes out and beats a 5th-ranked team, and they're not even in the top 25. Mizzou isn't. I mean, it's just it's an amazing year for college basketball, and I hope you Mizzou fans, clearly the ones at the Blues game, enjoyed it last night and delayed Carl's ability to leave.
I wanted to come home. And then that the last, let's say, 5 minutes of the game, I could have left with 5 minutes left to go and made it home to watch the end of that game.
Yes.
Mizzou was up by 8 or 10 with like 5 minutes to go.
And won by one.
It was, but that was because Florida kept missing free throws.
It's a pretty. I mean, Florida's had a great year so far. So anyway, congrats if you're a Mizzou fan. A big win. How'd the Blues do last night, Carl?
They won.
Good. My kid was there, apparently.
Did not hear from him.
Okay. All right.
And then it was 2-1. We were winning 1-0, and then they tied it, and everyone in the building said, oh, great, we're going to overtime. And then the Blues just weird shot on goal, got tipped in, and we got to go home. But not really, because everyone was watching the Mizzou game afterwards.
Yes. Yeah, that tends to take a little while. Here's the thing. I saw a story that I forwarded to Carl Middleman, and I'm looking to see. I don't see it on the
Which
sheet
one?
Here anywhere. But the one from Andy Banker that I sent to you.
You did not send me an Andy Banker story.
From Fox 2, showing evidence of a St. Louis City salt truck salting a side road. And then I see our friend Jane Duker tweets out a picture of smaller trucks fitted with snow plows to try to somehow address the nightmare that is the side streets on a lot of St. Louis City streets right now. Carl Middleman, have you seen any evidence of any of that?
No.
Nothing. You've seen nothing?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to find that story from Andy because he did tweet that out last night, and we're going to have to...
Andy lives down the street from me.
I know. That's just why I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was on the job when he saw it or if he was covering the news or if he was at home when he saw it. But we're going to get to the bottom of that. Is it possible that after all of these years, the city has finally decided to respond to the needs of the citizens?
No.
No, don't be silly, Mark. Here's the good thing. Nature's coming, baby. Nature's coming. It's going to be 40 tomorrow afternoon, right?
And raining.
And warmer than that on Friday. So some of this snow is going to go away just because it's going to start melting. And if there's some rain, that'll get rid of it faster. So there is some relief coming for those of you whose cars are still stranded somewhere on a road in the city of St. Louis.
I'm just over the cold.
Yeah, no kidding. It was 3 degrees in my truck this morning when I got in it. It was 12 degrees by the time I got downtown. I guess that's the heat island effect. I don't know. It was that much warmer down here than it was out in St. Charles County this morning.
It was awful. And I park in the garage, and it's one of those things where I dread going outside.
I violate all Sue Thomas's rules, and I remote start my truck in the morning just to get the edge off a little bit. You know, the seat starts to warm up just a tad.
She says, don't do that?
Well,
yes.
Why? Because cars can get stolen anywhere.
Oh, okay. But you can remote start your car and keep it locked.
Mine does lock when you remote start it. And you can't get in it unless you have the key.
But not all.
But not all of them do that. But I did that this morning just to knock the edge off, and it wasn't quite so bad. That heated steering wheel, man, I'm telling you. My car is 10 years old, but I'm thrilled that it's got some of those bells and whistles on it.
I love my heat seaters.
Oh, yeah.
My whatever they're just called. Seat warmers.
Fantastic heated is seats. What they are.
Heated seats.
Are yours cooled as well?
Just yes, heated? They blow air. Mine blow air.
No, but I used to have leather seats in one of my cars, and I actually think I almost prefer cloth because the leather gets so hot in the summer and so cold in the winter.
Yeah. Well, if you are just tuning in this morning, you're just waking up, you've not been in the news cycle, it appears, thanks to the Trump effect, that they might have secured some sort of a hostage release ceasefire deal with Hamas. We'll believe it when we see it. We're going to get you a live report this morning from Jonathan Savage, though, who's reporting from over there in Israel. So I'm going to have that for you. We're going to update that. The Supreme Court has got a hearing today on, of all things, adult website age verification. Like, I don't know how they verify it, but apparently...
To send your license.
Well, apparently in an attempt to satisfy people that you're not allowing teenagers to look at porn, you now have to promise you're a certain age. I mean...
You have to send a picture of your license.
Well, that's before the Supreme Court today. We're going to talk to Tanya J. Powers about it at about 6:20. Stay tuned for that. First, though, Carl, the big nomination hearings yesterday, more scheduled for today. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Well, in short, I think Pete Hegseth kicked their asses today. I mean, it wasn't even close. They didn't lay a glove on Hegseth. No mistakes. Calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to watch, to be honest with you. For those of you who weren't familiar with Hegseth, who bought into the argument that he was some lightweight who had no business being the Secretary of Defense, if you watched that hearing yesterday and listened to him spar with these veteran senators, you now understand why Donald Trump picked him.
Is, would you use our military to take over Greenland or an ally of Denmark?
Yeah. I once heard it say that Joe Biden was the dumbest man in the United States Senate. Well, he left. And then, of course, Kamala took over that role. And then she left. And now it's Mazie Hirono from Hawaii.
You are undermining the very cause that I know you so desperately want to promote right now. So I was embarrassed for them. I was embarrassed for my sex and how they were behaving today.
Megyn Kelly yesterday on the way some of these senators attacked, like the fangs were out against Pete Hegseth, based on, you know, total allegations, nothing more than allegations from his past, for dating relationships or whatever, and they absolutely drilled him yesterday.
And child, listen, I want y'all.
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out.
I am a grown woman.
Woo, man! You know they have something in the legislature. They try to impose it at the state level. They certainly try to impose it at the natural level. It's called national level, I should say. It's called decorum. And these two, Nancy Mace and this Crockett, this Congresswoman Crockett from Texas, got into a match yesterday, and Nancy Mace offered to take her outside. Told Jasmine Crockett, "Do you want to take this outside?" It was uncomfortable. There's gavels banging all over the place trying to get them to shut up as they were going after each other.
Well, this isn't the first time that happened. Remember, the two Congress members did that. The two men, I think, did that, where they were basically like, "You want to take this outside?"
Mark Wayne Mullen did it in a Senate hearing with a witness. I remember that.
I think two women did it too. And Nancy, that doesn't surprise me about Nancy Mace.
And Jasmine Crockett got into it one time with Marjorie Taylor Greene when Greene made fun of her long eyelash, I guess fake eyelashes or something.
I remember that.
Those two got into it. This is the first time I've heard one woman threaten to take another one out behind the woodshed, as Joe Biden likes to say, or out behind the gym. I'd like to take him out behind the gym if I was in high school. Listen, it's only about 30 seconds long. Listen to cut 7.
Somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen, I want y'all.
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether
Do
or
not,
not
call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out.
I am a grown
which
woman.
Of those
I'm 47
emails
years old. I have
actually
broken
have
glass ceilings.
Chairman,
you
I am reclaiming my
Let's
time.
Go.
You will not do that.
Order.
I am not a
Chairman.
Child.
I am reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside,
Mr. Chairman, a committee is not
okay.
in order.
Right. Order, order.
Point of order. Point of order.
Order, order, order,
order. Order, 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 order. Let's not get in a fist fight outside in the halls. Wow. This is going to be such a great 4 years. Can I just tell you this? The left, they're losing their minds, and we get to watch it in real time. All right, let's get to a quick break here. Carl, who will be bringing us our national anthem today?
That was me. They just announced that Chris Stapleton is going to be coming back to St. Louis.
And oh, nice.
Here he is doing our national anthem.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so we went back and we found the tweet from Andy Banker over at Fox 2 here that I did send to Carl this morning. He shows a salt truck going down a side street in the city of St. Louis. Here's what he said. What's this? A city of St. Louis salt truck on a side street? Breaking news at 5. 9 days after major winter storm, with side streets still entirely under sheets of ice, the city is changing its historic stance of just waiting for the sun to melt it. But upon closer examination by one Carl Middleman and me, we don't see any salt coming out of the back of it. Did you?
No. I blew it up, too, and I looked very closely because you'd see something.
You'd see something falling. So I'm looking down the list of comments here, and people are saying, I'm so mad at this. That's not going to fit down my street. Please send me a pickup truck with a hopper to Dogtown, please. I was stuck at Clark right at Jefferson today for 2 hours because it was still only half done but all ice. I mean, the comments just go on and on.
I think I like what you said. I think that is a truck that took a wrong turn.
I said maybe Andy was standing there when a truck accidentally ended up on the wrong street, but he wasn't there to do anything, so he didn't turn the little salt thing on.
Right.
I don't know. I don't understand why they can't do what this one guy suggested in Dogtown and send some smaller pickup trucks with some salt hoppers. If at the very least they had started salting these side streets 5 days ago, by now, with some of the above freezing temperatures we've had, some of that would have been gone, or at least severely melted. It shouldn't be up to the citizens of the Hill, who already pay city taxes, who already have to pay for extra security in their neighborhood, to also have to pay for street clearing. That's nonsense. This just makes no sense to me. There are alternatives. They just don't want to do it. Somebody pointed out that they remembered back in the 80s when they tried to do this, and they ended up with damaged cars because the trucks with the plows slid into some cars, and then people were mad about that.
I'm sure it's a liability issue, but something needs to be done. Even if a city worker has to go stand out there and throw salt with their hands, that's what needs to be done because, like you said, people are paying tax dollars. Yep. Where is that money going?
I don't know. We got hundreds of millions of dollars in RAM settlement money. None of it's going to the cops, and none of it's going to the streets. We know that much, right? None of it. What a travesty. I'm sorry, folks. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim here in just a couple of minutes. Next hour, we'll talk more about another big Supreme Court case dealing with how you verify somebody's age if they decide to try to use an adult website. We'll be back.
Kim on a whim.
I think you could argue there's a revolution going on. In a very unexpected way. And when I say a revolution, I mean a Jesus revolution.
Wow.
A revival. And this is on the sidelines of football fields. Have you been watching this and noting this?
I can't say that I have, except that I have seen more college athletes expressing their faith and wearing shirts expressing their faith.
I've noticed it in particular for a lot of these college games, the bowl games, and specifically, I heard a lot of not just the players, the coaches, whenever they would do interviews, they would say, you know, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even the guys in the NFL are doing this. And my husband and I have been talking about this. And one of the regular listeners of this show, Norman, reached out to me. He gave his life to Christ 5 years ago. And he brought this up because it's so easy right now to feel so down about everything going on in our world. I've seen people talk about how it's hard to, if you have family or friends in the LA area, you almost feel guilty, you know, going on about your life and doing all these things when you know that so many people in a different part of the country are hurting. But this is some good news. This has been so cool for me to watch a lot of these guys when these sideline reporters are probably not expecting them to answer in this way.
Right.
And there's a mashup of just a couple of them from Ohio State to Boise State. These guys are just publicly sharing their faith, and I love it. Listen to this.
First, I want to start off and say, oh, glory to Jesus Christ. He's the true champion. Coach D, you changed my life. You changed my life. I did not know God until I got to Boise State. And I serve a true champion. Jesus Christ is the only true God. He died, rose from the dead 3 days later. That's the champion that I serve.
For a kid who grew up loving the Buckeyes your whole entire life, what did that last play, the scoop and score, how do you process what that means to this school?
It just means everything to me. God's blessed his team with so much ability. You know, we wouldn't be here without him, so we give him all the credit first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, our mentality all year is just give us an inch and we're defended. And we got down there with our backs against the wall like we've been there multiple times with this group, with this coach. And, man, we just keep fighting. That's what we did. We just give God all the credit and all the glory. And, man, we're going to Atlanta. Couldn't be more excited.
These athletes aren't just speaking out about their faith publicly, but they're also getting together and they're praying and worshiping.
Right.
And there was a huge I don't know if you want to call it an event, but basically the Ohio State football team, do you remember this? They actually were orchestrating this event where they brought, I mean, thousands of people, well, it was close to 1,000 at least, students on Ohio State's campus, including other players, and they were praying together and worshiping together. About 60 students ended up getting baptized, including some of the players.
Wow.
That night, right on campus.
I did not know that.
When have you seen that? I mean,
I don't remember
since the last time,
right.
You know, there's the movie Jesus Revolution, which, by the way, is fantastic if you've not seen it. Since then, when have we seen this? I can't think of a time.
I remember specifically taking note of it when the Notre Dame quarterback did an interview after the game. Now, maybe because it's Notre Dame and it's a Catholic school, I might have been more expecting of it, but he must have praised his Lord and Savior three or four times in the same interview on the same sideline.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It was a post-game interview after he won the game that sent them to the national championship game Monday against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And he repeatedly thanked his Lord and Savior for giving all glory to him, and he just kept saying it, and the reporter kept trying to redirect
it,
him,
right?
And he kept going back to it.
And that's
so
what's
right.
so cool, because these players have a huge platform, and that's what's so fantastic, is to see them using their platform in this way. You think back to the Colin Kaepernick days of him kneeling during the national anthem. Love him or hate him, love or hate what he did, I think it was completely disrespectful, but that had an impact. Everyone knew he was doing that, and it got people talking. These guys, female athletes too, but in particular the guys, they have such a big voice. And it's not just the high schoolers who aspire to be like them and to play in the big leagues.
Right.
You know, it's even adults who are far older than them. I think they can be very impactful. So it's very interesting to me to see these guys doing it. In fact, there was the Ravens head coach, John Harbaugh. He actually led his team in the Lord's Prayer. And that was all on camera. I mean, again, when do you see this?
You don't, but there are a lot of people in Dallas who are going to be thanking their Lord and Savior if Deion Sanders agrees to take over as head coach down there.
Is that what's up for grabs?
Apparently, Jerry Jones has called him up to talk to him about the head coaching job at Dallas.
Deion Sanders,
is he doing well?
He's negotiating.
Well, he's not. He's a big talker. They had a few successful games last season. His son is his quarterback. He's happy to be there coaching him. But they were more flash than actual substance this year. They didn't have a great record. They didn't go. They weren't anywhere.
They were ranked for a while.
Yeah, but they weren't anywhere close to the college football championships or anything like that.
And he was better when he was with the smaller team.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, he's shown flashes of brilliance. He's a showman. And that's exactly the kind of person, plus he was a star in the NFL, so he's exactly the kind of person that Jerry Jones might be interested in. Beside the point, I'm just saying, the people in Dallas would probably all be very happy if Deion went down there.
Well, he has the name recognition.
They'd be thanking somebody.
Even if you don't know much about him, you probably know the name.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what's going to come of this. The Boise State head coach has been really outspoken about this. And, you know, after they lost to, was it Penn State? He said, you know, no matter what, win or lose, you know, give God the glory and we serve a champion. And, you know, he says, I do know that God never says oops. And as hard as tonight was as a competitor and as a coach, I believe you learn and grow from everything and the best is still to come.
Yes.
God had money on Penn State.
I guess
you're
so.
Funny, Carl.
You wanted nice. To give yourself a ba-dum-bum-ch there,
no,
didn't you?
It's a slippery slope if they're only praising God when they win. It's great.
Yeah. No, I know. And you're right. I agree. There's something to be said when they praise God in the hard moments and the losses, because you're right. And I see that with a lot of people where things are going really, really well, and it's so easy to be like, thank you so much, and I give you all the glory. And then as soon as things go not their way, they're angry and they're turning away from him. And that's when you really need to turn to him more. So I'm just so encouraged by this, and I hope these athletes realize how impactful their voice is. Again, not just for the younger generation that looks up to them, but even all generations. I think, how many millions of people were watching some of these these bowl games.
Oh, yeah.
And to your point, Mark, some of these players have been so diligent about putting it, about saying it during these interviews, that no matter what the sideline reporter says or tries to reroute the conversation, they still find a way to do it. You can't miss it.
It's heartening, because I was really convinced in the day and age of national image and likeness that some of them would use post-game interviews to pump their advertisers, right? I mean,
they could, and maybe, well, yeah, they, maybe, right. Maybe that's coming. But instead,
I'd like to thank
this
car where they, I'd like to hats. Thank the local car dealership for backing me this year so I could come here and play for your favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
No,
but
true.
It is refreshing now that you pointed that out. I've not watched a lot of college football this year, but I had noticed that a time or two. And I noticed some of the, I don't know if it was some of the Ohio State players or something, walking to practice this week out of pads, and they had T-shirts on that were that had God on them, and
yeah,
some
seen
religious
that too.
Reference. And it's a trend. There's just no way around it. And
NFL,
that's a good thing.
College football, it's happening everywhere, and I'm sure it's other sports too that I don't follow. But that's where I've noticed it. Like, there was one of the coaches, was it Boise State? I think it might have been. Yeah, he had a red T-shirt on, and in big capital letters it said Jesus won.
Nice.
Can't miss that.
No.
So things might be changing, and I got to hand it to these guys who are using their platform for good. I
hope you are right. That's a great story. You know, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is a man of faith,
yes.
Pretty strong man of faith. Regardless of how you feel about him negotiating with terrorists like Chuck Schumer, he wears it on his sleeve, and he brought it up again yesterday because of this trans bill that the House has passed. Two Democrats broke and voted with the Republicans. Every other Democrat that voted against the bill. All the bill says is men cannot compete against women, period. Protect your girls, period. And you should have heard the fit that AOC threw on the floor of the House, claiming that women are going to bleed out in parking lots because of this. I have no idea what that's got to do with trans men playing women's sports. The women playing against them are more likely to bleed out from getting injured, to be honest with you. We're going to get to all that and more for you coming up in just a minute.
This is to protect women and girls. It's very clear. It's been articulated well. And you've heard examples. Riley's one of the most famous. But again, it happens all the time, all across the country. Congress has a role to play here. We should step into this arena, and it's an appropriate thing for us to do. So we make no apology for it. And this is not dislike or discrimination against anybody at all. This is the right thing to do, and it's to protect women and girls, and that's our role here.
Yeah. Thank you. Mike Johnson there, the Speaker, talking yesterday after the GOP-led House voted to ban transgender athletes from women's sports. Why would you not ban transgender athletes from women's sports? There's no argument to allow them to play. There's none that makes any sense to me. So, of course, he gets in this news conference, and a reporter wants to make it a religious issue. And he asks him, where in the Bible does it say that it's just a man and a woman? I don't know if somebody prepared the reporter for this question and scripted it for them, or if they came up with it on their own. But Mike Johnson appeared to be fully capable of handling this religious question. Hang on.
Can you say why you think Christian scripture teaches that? I'm curious about your response. So you various other Christian traditions interpret scripture differently.
So it's hard to hear, but he goes, can you explain how scripture interprets that? I mean, scripture's open to different interpretations by different people. It's basically what the question is.
Well, it goes back to the first book, Genesis. Male and female, he made them. I mean, this is pretty clear. I'm not sure there's another interpretation, but everybody's open to interpreting scripture however they will. But this is comports with common sense as well. So we know it from our religious tradition, which I believes the truth. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Make no apology about that. But whether you regard that as the truth or not, it's also nature. It's biology. And biology is not bigotry, as we say. Anyone who would accuse the supporters of this legislation otherwise is ill-informed.
It's all the people who have, including somebody in my neighborhood who has the sign, science is real, love is love, science is real. These are the same people who feel like a guy can be a woman. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know that I, Carl, I don't know if I sent you the bite. Let me see. Let me look at the sheet again. Sorry. I must not have, because it was kind of long. I listened to it. AOC got on the floor of the House, and she was going sideways, talking about women bleeding out in parking lots. I assume she was talking about abortion. And then she veered back, she veered back into the trans argument, and she looked right into the floor of the House and said, trans women are women. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you can tell me that you feel like you're a German Shepherd. That doesn't mean I have to look at you and believe you're a German Shepherd. Why does she believe that she can inject that false science on anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but she does.
That's what's crazy, is their belief is that, you know, telling men who think they're women that they can't participate in these sports is discriminatory against women. It's hard to wrap my brain around that they somehow think they're hurting us, women.
But if trans women are women, then you're hurting women. I mean, that's the illogical
it doesn't make
that
sense.
They use.
Yeah.
And I mean that not as in, not only the fact that it's illogical, it's ill logic. It's sick,
yeah,
logic to reach that kind of conclusion. This is why Nancy Mace and this Jasmine Crockett got into it yesterday. They were debating this in the House, and Crockett accused her of just trying to fundraise off of this issue. I don't know if Nancy Mace has any kids. I don't know. She talked at the prayer breakfast about her dating and sex life one time, but beyond that, I know nothing about her background. And she clearly is offended by this as a, I guess, as a she's a sexual abuse survivor.
Two children.
Okay, I did. Maybe from
children,
a previous marriage then.
Two marriages.
I didn't know that. But yeah, they got into it yesterday over this issue. And again, it's pretty simple. It's pretty cut and dried. We've done it in Missouri. This is needed to be done in the House. The fact that every Democrat except two, it was a 203 vote. So during the last session of Congress, House Republicans passed the bill 219 to 203 down strict party lines. The Senate refused to take up the bill. That's all turned around this time. This time the vote was 218 to 206. Two Democrats voted in favor. One Democrat voted present. Henry Cuellar from Texas and Vicente Gonzalez from Texas were the two Democrats who voted in favor of this. And now you can bet your bottom dollar that Thune will bring this up for a vote in the Senate. Will the Democrats try to filibuster it? I would not be surprised.
I'm sure they will.
Because they're angry little elves. But they're going to try to do this. It's pretty simple. The bill would not prohibit schools or institutions from permitting males to practice against women's sports teams. The bill does not prohibit institutions from permitting males to train or practice, but in competition, they would not be allowed to do it, and men would not be able to try out for a women's team. So let's hope this gets to the Senate and passes quickly. There's a lot of common sense here. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Tanya J. Powers about what's going to be heard before the Supreme Court today regarding porn websites. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.